Hello and welcome to the Spooky Chris podcast. My name is Chris Ringler. I am your aforementioned Spooky Chris. This time around, I just wanted to do a brief little intro and talk about a book some friends and I recently released called A New Liberty, Battlefly 2. So back in 2015, when Trump was elected for the first time, it was understood that this was going to be a transformative time for, you know, in my mind and in the minds of many people I care for, transformative in a negative way. And we saw that play out. But as he was getting ready to come into office and the rhetoric was going around from the party and all these things he was going to do, and the fear was mounting, I was overcome by the frustration and the outrage that this man with no experience who genuinely didn't earn the right to run the country, because here's the thing: it shouldn't be a popularity contest. It shouldn't be like the most famous person, the most rich person, the person with like the big voice. It should be the person best suited to lead the nation. Now we can debate until the end of time whether we've had every president or no presidents that live up to that. But a man that literally only continued to run for office because he was told he would never win, it shouldn't be the guy running the country. And I get it. He won. He won twice. Hip, hip, hooray. He won for 100 different reasons, most of which are sketchy and playing on the worst fears and prejudices and biases of too much of our country. So I've set the stage. So with that happening, very frustrated and concerned and upset. And the only way I felt to process that would be to kind of do something. And being a writer, that seemed the most obvious way to do something. So I turned to some friends and I offered the idea, like putting together some fiction, and putting it out, to raise money for Planned Parenthood, whether we raised $1 or $1 million, it didn't matter. It was kind of something moving forward. And I was blessed to have my friends agree that they liked that idea and they joined me. My friends Paul Canellis and Glenn Birdsell joined me in this mad crusade, and we put the first book out. Now, with the second coming, same kind of feelings, but worse, because now it's Katie bar the door. We could see. Initially, like the Republican Party made very clear, like, this is what we're gonna do, and we are going to take a scythe to social programs and public good and the arts and all of these things. And so again, same feelings, worsened this time. So I thought maybe it was a time to do this again. So I got in touch with Glenn and Paul again. But also want to reach out to other friends who are creatives and writers and who I thought might want to take part in this. And I was, again, blessed that everybody did. Everybody did it free of charge, with all proceeds going towards Planned Parenthood. Why Planned Parenthood? Because I think it is important, especially as now a father of a daughter, for sexual health, for physical health, as a place to go and get needed procedures. They're more than a quote-unquote abortion clinic. They offer STD testing and just an array of programs. I have a friend that learned she had cancer by going to Planned Parenthood. So despite it being so politicized and you know, the next, oh, well, we took rid of, got rid of Roe versus Wade. That's the next big one. You know, just destroying things without any real plan to rebuild something better or different or whatever, just destroying to destroy. It was important to me to raise money. And again, as much as we could for Planned Parenthood. So this is how A New Liberty came to be. I shot the cover and the back image. I wrote some pieces for it, put it all together and everything. We did a book release and raised a couple $100 for Planned Parenthood. And that's, you know, it is literally not even a drop in a bucket. It's a drop in the ocean. Drop in the universe. But I think at this point, any little bit helps. So I wrote two pieces. One piece was a letter to my daughter. And the idea was that, as she's a 4-year-old. So as a 4-year-old, what we have let happen in the nation and what many people have done willingly is electing this man and letting these terrible things just run rampant. Her generation has to clean up the mess and deal with it. We get the luxury of not seeing the wonders of our works fully through. You know, that's why people like Trump are just so diabolical, is they do all these terrible things and they never have to see the damage they've done. Not that they'd care, but because they're going to be long gone because they're old. And so I wanted to write something to my daughter, just kind of like, hey, stay strong, keep at it, like keep fighting. And then my other piece I wrote was the title for the book, A New Liberty. And it was just looking at the world through the eyes of the president and kind of riffing on that. I really like both pieces. I really like the A New Liberty. I like it for what it is. I like it as an evolution of what I had written in the first book. So I dig it. I can't say enough how honored I am that these friends of mine wrote pieces for this and supported the whole project. And you're going to be able to hear from them directly in a moment and hear their thoughts. So I cannot thank enough. I'm gonna just Paul Canellis, Glenn Birdsall, Miley Canellis, one of Paul's daughters, Jessica Revolt, my wife Amanda Emery, and Brian Stout for working on this book and donating pieces to it. You can find it online at Amazon. It's called A New Liberty. And like I say, all proceeds are going to Planned Parenthood. I have no interest in laying out a lie to make money, because I know this isn't going to sell enough to get rich to begin with, but it's just not who I am. So I hope that you will consider buying it or donating to Planned Parenthood or another cause. So I appreciate you listening, and next up you will hear from the other writers that have been involved. Thanks so much. As always, you can find my stuff at spookychris.com. Let's hear what the others have to say.
Hi, I'm Brian Stout. I'm the author of the piece New Dreams, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about my work. My situation and my story are not unique. Lots of us were brought up in the 80s and 90s thinking that college was the be-all, end-all, that it would be the way to get out of the situations that we were in. So it was the way to create some upward mobility in your life. I grew up with extended family in the UAW, and I grew up in a union home, and my parents bought into that dream, and consequently I did too. And we just all assumed that it would work and that it would be the way to secure, another level of upward mobility for myself and for my family. And, as we all know, it really has not. I mean, we weren't counting on we heard things about the middle class disappearing or shrinking, but we really didn't believe it was going to happen to us. I certainly did not. And we haven't been prepared for things like wages that don't pace with inflation and crippling student loan interest and predatory tactics to get that money back. And, you know, the American dream, as it was communicated to most of us in books and as we were growing up, is more or less dead. And hence the need for new dreams, hence thinking about ways to make your life have some meaning, things that bring it value, things that make it mean something for you, aside from how much money you make and where you live. Those two records that I reference in the piece are very important records to me. I've been a big fan of the Constantines for a very long time, and I appreciate what they're doing. And that Spanish Love Songs record really spoke to me in that particular year that it came out. I really felt like somebody was just checking it, you know, just listening to what's inside my head and communicating it out. In the best days, I still think kind of like some of those cautiously optimistic people that are in those Constantine songs, but I'm still dealing with a lot of realities that sound a lot more like the songs that Spanish Love Songs wrote.
Asked the writers to talk about what inspired their work in the new book, A New Liberty. At the time, this was after the election, but before taking office, I was attempting to keep an open mind, not on which I thought things would be better per se than the last time, but being realistic that panic before knowing doesn't result in anything other than stress and anxiety with no directional solutions. And I was at least correct in thinking that. However, 4 weeks into this administration, there are enormous worries. And in fact, worries far beyond what I saw. One of which was the idea of liberty itself, a term that 45's followers see as patriotism rather than the definition. Simple definition of personal freedom. Something challenged in our free speech and our due process, which does extend beyond citizenship, is an ideal as far back as the Greeks in the BC era, reiterated again and again, even up to H.G. Wells' book, The Rights of Man, published in 1940. This is almost 50 years after him writing The Time Machine and Island of Dr. Moreau, both of which are about people's freedoms and where we land in citizenship and how we judge others. So with that, we think about the thoughts of and rights, not as citizens of any nation, but our rights as basic human beings living with dignity. And that's what I think about when I think about, you know, freedom, liberty, the rights of people. All of this fed into my work and that we're putting into this book. And there were lots of things that fed into it. There's so much more. When we see that overwhelmingly those that wanted 45 in power were the working class, were looking for solutions that felt like they were struggling to make ends meet. Our economy was stretched by years of product hikes, being put outpaced by salary increases. The prices just kept going up and the salaries did not pace in the same way. And though promised one thing, his cabinet picks reflected a path that will result in the exact opposite results. Often billionaires making decisions for the very ones who wanted relief while denying those that really are in need. But that's a different story. I think it is important to note that when the rich wage war, is the poor who suffer, they're going to be the casualties. And that's very worrisome to me. All of that fed into what I wrote. We can also see that we are shown so much nonsense to distract us from all the horrible being done by our representatives. As mentioned earlier, the Greek ideals of democracy, which is the foundation for our own version, was majority rules with minority rights. And at times we've been so close to this balance that we've seen the light at the end of the tunnel. But it seems like this time it does look like they're trying to fill in the other side of that tunnel as quickly as possible. And that's another thing that fed into the poems that I wrote. So what all is there, what is the result? Is that we are in this together. And even though I said a lot of dark stuff, I still and always will believe in hope. Hope is the fuel for change. Without it, we do not fix anything unless time and fate makes that happen anyways. And the odds of that are very slim. It's better. It's so much better to be in the driver's seat. We have to train ourselves to express our fears and sadness, but also with the same fervor as being helpful and hopeful. We need to take care of ourselves and each other. We need to resist. We need to speak up when it is wrong. And remember, this is no longer him. I chose to call him 45 in this little discussion here because it's now regime. It's not just him. They are people that just don't think like a lot of us. Mostly the rich, mostly those that value power over empathy. And all of this is what made me write what I wrote. And join in on adding my voice to the others in this magnificent book. This piece of art. This manifesto, ever so small, but ever so important. Sliver in what we think of as creative civil disobedience. That is what inspired my work.
I wrote The Last Mother as a way to discuss what happens when you ignore all of these different reasons why a woman doesn't want something to happen with her body. Now, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, bringing life into the world and things like that. And the thing with The Last Mother is that this young teenage girl is begging and pleading to end her pregnancy. She says, you know, she's a virgin and no one believes her. Some people speculate that, you know, she's embarrassed or, you know, maybe there was something more illegal going on and that's how she ended up getting pregnant. But the thing is that no one will listen to her and no one will hear her for her reasoning to want to get to end this pregnancy, to have an abortion. And in the story, she lives in a state where abortion is no longer legal. She tries to fight it in court And essentially it just goes on and on that no one will listen to her. No one will listen to what she wants to do with her body. And in this case, it ends up being a detriment to the entire world because no one would listen. So, is it kind of dramatic for it to be that excessive that, you know, no one listens? So, you know, boom, that's the end of everything. But I mean, realistically, to a person who is not being listened to, that is the end of the world for them. And I think that too many times people don't look at the woman herself and what she's going through and what's kind of led to this position that she's now in. They don't want to listen and they don't care about her as an individual or what, you know, this pregnancy could mean to her individually. It may not have been a wanted pregnancy. It may be life-threatening for her. There's a lot of different variables that go into it, and it is not as cut and dry in black and white as people want to make it out to be. So that's kind of the underlying message of the story that I wrote, and I hope that people enjoy it. I hope that it makes people think.
This is Paul Canellis.
I'm Miley Canellis.
And we have put a couple, we've each written poems and a story. I wrote a story for this new book, A New Liberty, that we have participated in as resistance to what we feel the state of the country is, is in. And we did a book like this a few years ago before.
Yes.
And you were a child because
I was young.
But in that book, my own inspiration was to do a horror story that centered around homophobia, essentially, and bigotry. And so, because I'm a horror writer, that's what I'm drawn to express these things. Sometimes you can express things like that subtly, and sometimes you got to beat people over the head with it.
Yeah.
But, so that was my inspiration on that book. And conversely, it's been my inspiration for this one. This one is not subtle at all.
I don't.
It's called The Monster from Within the House. And I think it will go without saying what that was inspired by once you read it. And also I have a poem in there. And you have contributed some poetry as well. What was your inspiration? What made you want to do this book at first?
Just like the state of like the country right now and how it feels to be like a young gay lady, woman in this country currently. And
how you feel.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Really upset. Like it makes me feel angry. Like constantly.
Because you don't have control.
I can do absolutely nothing. I'm not even of the age to vote yet.
Right.
And I have no control. And people tend to think that I shouldn't feel a specific way about I shouldn't have a political opinion because I'm young, which is what one of my poems is about.
Okay. So that was inspired by your youth and dissatisfaction.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is good. I guess what made you want to do the book? Is that the same thing?
Or? I think it is about the same thing. I just kind of wanted to like use my voice in a way that like so that people could hear me, because nobody's going to listen to me the only way that people will listen to somebody as young as me is if I write.
And then we also have quite a few people who have contributed to the book, and all very good writers. I know of them. I know of their work. They're all good artists, I should say, in their own right. And I think it'll be a nice powerhouse little book, and maybe it will open up a few eyes. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. We don't have any false hope for it, but we feel that maybe we can create a little bit of pushback, and also we're raising money for Planned Parenthood.
Which is also
good. Yeah, that's a huge thing. Yeah, that's a huge thing.
were really good.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about your poems in the book? Oh.
I don't really think so.
Are they self-explanatory? When people read them, they'll get one.
Yes, I think so. I think that it really does explain. It almost puts you in the mindset of somebody who's young and a woman and has no control over what's going on. I think that that's
Important to have that point of view.
Yes, they just really show that how stuck you can feel in a country like this, where you have absolutely no control over anything.
And that's the perception. That's how it feels.
Yes.
And so when you feel that way, to speak out is the American way.
Mm-hmm.
Whether people like it or not, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to speak out when we're dissatisfied, and we're supposed to rally together, and see, you know, what good we can create, because we're all about love.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems that a lot of these people are not.
Yeah.
We'll just put it that way.
That's the best way to put it.
So, yeah, that's going to be the book release is April 6th, which is coming up fast.
Yes.
By the time you hear this, it's April 6th, 2025. And you're going to be singing.
I will.
It'll be your onstage debut of some songs that we've written together.
Yes.
And Audrey, your sister.
Yep.
Will be debuting some of her new songs.
This is going to be awesome. She's very talented.
In addition to all the reading that we have going on, I think I'm playing a song or two, if there's time permitting. But yeah, it should be a really enlightening time. And we hope to get the word out there. And we hope to see people there to support the cause.
Come watch. Come hear. Come listen. Come do it all.